coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, the 20th day of January 2022. I wanted to say Friday. I really wanted to say Friday for a lot of reasons because, well, Friday, everyone likes Friday, right? And the weekend and such, but it really doesn't matter what day it is here. A lot of information to get into, a lot of stuff to get into, a lot of things to talk about, and a surprise because riding shotgun with me is Randy Taylor, of course. Missed him a lot. Before I bring Randy on, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Talkstream Live. We're in the top 50, 2021 top 50 radio shows, right above Joe Piscopo. I don't know why I laughed at that. Among luminaries like, you can look at the list, one of the top 50 most listened to and influential radio broadcasts out there, Talkstream Live. And, of course, Spreaker, we're in the double digits there. I think we're in the top 50 on Spreaker. So we appreciate that. Thank you so very much. It's good to have some listening, some people listening and tuning in. A couple of wow. Folks, did you see Biden yesterday? For the love of... What was that? That was actually someone sundowning on national TV.
I was listening to it on the radio on my way home. It was funny.
I'm going to tell you something. I could not. I was rending my garments in frustration. Can you imagine being Putin watching this?
Oh, he loves it.
What's he thinking? Or the Chinese Communist Party boss over there? What are they thinking, right? All right, so there's that. Also, I just want to direct your attention as well. We had Steve Quayle on yesterday. Of course, the fundraiser, the Money Bomb, the mutual fundraiser for all things that we're doing right now in the field. What do you call that? A pre-launch, if you will, right now.
And Steve's going to have some video content for people. It's going to be really good. I heard what you guys were talking about.
You were listening, right?
So yeah, that will be released the 27th, I think.
Yes. That's the date we were shooting for. It may be the 28th, but it certainly won't be much longer than that. Because we're putting some people together from different parts of the world right now.
At least the first video will be available the 27th.
That's true. And you should see some of the findings. I'll tell you what, when Russ and I were working closely together and we brought Steve and his team in, and what we found through our sources, actually writing contemporaneously in this language that we had no clue what it was. To sit there and watch someone write, imagine someone watching, if you're not Chinese, watch somebody write in Chinese, but forget about all of that. Imagine watching someone writing in an ancient language. And then You can't translate that through Google, right? Or maybe now you can. Who knows? So we had some scientists look at it, and actually it was an archaeologist look at it and say, wait a minute, I've seen this before. And that's what got Russ and myself started on this. And to see the present meet up with the past, or the past meet up with the present. That's mind-blowing. So all of that. But so that's coming, and I just can't wait. So if you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the banner, and that'll take you directly to the fundraiser. It'll explain everything for you. It's going to be both a video, and I believe there will be a PDF, I take it, right? Eric the Tech? since you're...
I think so.
Okay.
If not, there will be extra video content. So.
Okay. All right. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I do know that there's just a ton of stuff. And there's the banner right there if you're watching this. And if you're not watching this, if you're listening to this on the radio, well, just go to HagmanReport.com. Two ends on Hagman. HagmanReport.com, and there you'll have it. All right. So, Randy Taylor, how are you, sir? It's good to have you back. I know it's been a while.
It's good to be back, Doug. It's been kind of crazy this last year.
Yeah.
But starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. So from a health standpoint, that's good. There's a million other issues that we have here in the world. But it's good to be here. I hope everybody had a great Christmas and that everybody had a great New Year. I'm glad that your wife is recovering well. And looks like things are looking good. You look pretty sharp yourself there, buddy.
I am spiffy. I am sharp. I'm spiffy and not quite as good looking as you. And
once we get some things done here, I'll go cut some of the hair off and go back to normal. But I just want to blend right now.
Yeah. And what you're doing and stuff. And folks, I got to tell you, Randy Taylor is he's a man of action. So he's like a chameleon.
It's time to shake things up, buddy.
Yeah.
We've been sitting around and we're watching what's going on. I know I watch it and I watch it and I watch it. And it just seems like we're going through the same turmoil every day, different players, different words, this, that. Either way, rights are being infringed on. And false information is out there. There's tons. It is sad when the government has put themselves in such a place of mistrust that when they do ask the population to do something, nobody trusts them enough to do it. So, I mean, when you look at that from a leadership standpoint, you look at it and you say, wow, I must really suck as a leader if these people won't listen to me, or we have zero credibility, which I think is more of the case. We used to be conspiracy theorists. We're not conspiracy theorists anymore.
We weren't,
but we were labeled. We were labeled
as conspiracy theorists.
Ridiculed. Oh, God, some of the stuff they used to post about your operation, Doug, just over the last 20 years. And I would sit back and read it, and I was like, these people are clueless. I have not a clue what this man does. But anyway, it's good to see you guys. And, thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, it's good to be seen, and it's good to see you. And I won't get personal, but picture you sent me about your buddy there,
my dog.
Yeah, I didn't Ranger. Know how far you went.
Yeah. Come here, Ranger.
Yeah, check this out, folks. If you're watching this, check this out. This is kind of like a king.
Come on.
Go ahead and open that screen up there.
Come on. Come on, up. Who we got here? Come on, up. That's a good boy. Come on, Ranger.
You're a Ranger.
Ranger, come on.
Come on, Ranger.
Come on, see Daddy. Come on. There he is.
Check that out.
This is about 125 pounds of German Shepherd. And he has just now been with us a year.
I'm going to tell you what. I love
that. That is my... precursor to the ADT alarm system.
And you know,
I'll take the dog.
I would take the dog too.
He's a big puppy, Doug. He's like King, man. King is a lot of mannerisms are the same. That's what freaks me out.
Yeah. And it's, Lady, the studio dog is, I love her to death, but she's no German Shepherd. I gotta help her jump on the bed now. She's gained some weight. So I'm fat shaming my dog. And you might say, well, it's your fault because
you're the one feeding her.
But I've got her on a caloric diet. Okay. A very specific calorie diet. So I get her thyroid checked out, or at least that's her story and she's sticking to it. All right. So a lot of stuff to get into. Let's start with this, because again, we're looking at this multi-pronged attack against freedom, against us, against the people of America, against against all of the West by these globalist bastards. And I say that with as much hatred, and I mean hatred, against these people, against their agenda. And I'm sorry if not, you know, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for anything I'm saying. When someone's trying to kill you, I don't like that. When someone's trying to kill your children, I really don't like that. And when somebody's out there trying to take down our way of life and our society and rebrand it in their image and in this great reset, that really pisses me off. And when they do this as well with war, okay? For example, what Biden said yesterday about Ukraine. Well, it depends on how big the incursion is. What the hell are you talking about?
But yeah, that'll make you sleep good at night.
Right. Well, what's wrong with this moron? Not him. I guess the people that put the words in his mouth and have their hands so far up his backside and making his mouth move. But anyway, Steve Bannon, this was last night, I believe it was. And again, people, this is not about the person. This is about the message. I go through really probably 8 hours of videos a day to get the best and bring the best to you guys. Check this out. Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, who, good friend of mine, good friend of the show, good friend of ours, Jack Posobiec was on with Bannon yesterday. This runs 2 minutes in length. Watch this. And Randy Taylor, I want your comments on the other side of this. And folks, listen carefully to this because I feel this way too. Go ahead, play this.
Catastrophic consequences, and the whole world just saw it right there in living color for almost 2 hours. I'm wondering, is Jack Posobiec up? I got to bring Posobiec. So first of all, I want to go to Blue Check Twitter because you're my Twitter guy. Please tell me, please tell me that they're crushing this guy. It was actually scary. And here's the thing, Joe. Here's our plan. You say what we stand for. We stand for stopping you, an illegitimate regime, from destroying the country, destroying the balance sheet of the country, destroying the southern border, letting the country be invaded, let our enemies all around the world come at us, destroy the dollar, destroy everything you put your hand to, you're trying to destroy. So number one, here's what we stand for, to stop you, and let me say it, I know I'm certain terms, FJB, okay? That's our philosophy. And today, you just doubled and tripled down. They are a fire Saki for letting him wander out there, and particularly letting him wander out there 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got it now. Do it back at 2 o'clock because the sundowner effect comes and he doesn't know where he is, Jack Posobiec.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because this was history, Steve. We just saw a president of the United States sundown in real time on live TV in front of not just the eyes of our nation, but the eyes of the world. Vladimir Putin, obviously, taking very close attention to what's going on there when Biden essentially gives him the green light for what he says is a minor incursion in Ukraine. So in those breakaway provinces. By the way, you think they're paying attention to that in Taiwan right now? Look, the Olympics, the CCP Omicron Olympics are going to be the coronation of Xi Jinping as the chairman for life of the CCP. And Taiwan, they better start mining the straits right now. Spin up the screws on those submarines and get the diesel boats out there. You got to start mining that strait because he is coming for Taiwan.
All right. Your thoughts, Randy Taylor, on this, on the weak.
The projection is very weak,
right?
And Putin, you know, there's certain presidents we've had that have been great wartime presidents.
Right.
When Trump was in office, Putin wouldn't have pulled this crap.
No.
Plain and simple. Okay. Why? Because even as And I love the guy for it, as unpolished as he is, when Trump said something, he meant it. And they knew not to play with this guy. This what we're seeing right now, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think Putin necessarily is going to make a big, huge incursion into the Ukraine. I think he's trying Biden out. I think it's he wants to see how far he can with this guy. Because the guy he talks like, well, I've been in the government for 40 years. Yeah, you haven't done anything. You might as well have been the guy in the washroom that likes to hand you a towel and hand you a candy after you give them $5. That's as qualified as you are for this job. You look at Harris. What is Harris going to do? If we were going onto a really war footing with Russia and Biden dropped dead, the laughter that we would hear overseas would stick with us for years. This man, they don't care what he says. And I'll be honest with you, I think Putin's just playing him to make him look like an ass, because Biden is an ass. He has no, his foreign policy is garbage. If you sit around and you look, if we're going to go ahead and I'm going to take on Russia, then why did you give up strategic air bases? You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
We've done a lot of stupid things. And I understand nobody's got a crystal ball. So when a president walks in the office and he says, "Wow, I wonder what's going to go on for the next 4 years," you always have to have war in your thought process.
Of course.
That's how we stay alive. Biden acts like all he thinks about is ice cream and puppy dogs, and the rest of it's just going to work out. I think the bigger enemy is China. I've always thought the bigger enemy was China.
Yep.
I think what's going on right now with Putin is just another distraction for our ailments here in the United States, which we have tons of them. I'm just sitting around and I'm looking, and I've never in my life dreamed or even put, I never dreamed that the country could be so fractured. As a little, you know what I mean? When you're a little guy, you're growing up, you're proud of your flag, you want to join the military, and you know, you're American, 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 American. And then I look back and I look and I'm like, we're really a fractured nation. Painfully fractured. And that's when you get hit. Two times the enemy likes to strike: when you're unorganized or when it's raining. Remember that.
It's a good point.
And it's raining. And it's raining now.
And everyone's looking around for an umbrella.
Yeah.
Unorganized.
The funny thing is, now, Doug, we keep coming back to the Ukraine.
Yeah,
and this is something I don't think we put enough focus on. In fact, I've been doing a lot of digging here.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the reason why the Ukraine and their banks are so popular for channeling money to and from everybody.
Well, you know, I just let me put this out there. Remember the Hunter Biden hard drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In addition to the porn, in addition to the drugs, in addition to, you know, all of that stuff that's not suitable for mixed company. Okay. There's a whole crap ton of Ukrainian shenanigans with the Bidens on that hard drive. Go ahead, sir.
And that's just the Bidens.
Yes.
If we had a card file and we went down the name of and went down every congressman, senator sitting in those houses, I think we would find more ties to the Ukraine than anybody really suspects. I think it's a gigantic money laundering operation. I think Putin is doing this to see just how nervous he can get all the people that have financial interest in the Ukraine, because they're going to make a mistake and expose themselves. I know how Putin plays. And I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of problems with Vladimir Putin. I think for Russia, he's a good leader. I also think that he's not the threat that everybody's making him out to be. He's not the boogeyman. He's a boogeyman of convenience. And the warning that Biden gave him yesterday doesn't even qualify as a warning.
I didn't take it as a warning.
I didn't take it as a warning. It didn't sound like much more than a weather report. I sit here because think about it. Let's go boom back 1 year, 2 years, and it's Trump, and he was saying it. If he got up and said it, Putin would be listening. One, we wouldn't even be talking about invading the Ukraine. One of the things that I think that the U.S. gets so nervous about, now stop and think about this. Let's say that Putin did step into the Ukraine somewhere very minimal, but he was able to seize the banking system and all on all documents related to
it. All right.
What kind of can of worms would that open up? And I think that might be because it's the U.S. that's focused on the money in the Ukraine and the deals. And this, you know what I mean?
And the energy deals as well.
You got it. We are, Doug, we are in this up to our eyeballs. And remember, we're only dealing with what we actually see and hear that they would say on television.
Right.
There's way more to this. And especially, and Hunter Biden is quiet, you know, must be at vacation Bible school. but you know what I'm saying? The focus. And I think Putin knows that that is a really nervous thing. It'd be just like if the mafia, the five families, were using one particular bank in New York City, and the cops kept getting up there going, okay, we're going to go into that bank and get into those records. That's, you're looking at the same kind of scenario. The truth is in Ukraine. There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, I
and,
do agree.
And there's things, oh, Doug, I would love just the Hagman organization to have 6 months with their records.
we could take that apart because, you know, when I was, go ahead.
Because the forensics have to be fairly easy because their operational ineptness, if there's such a word, is plain and visible. So I don't think they've done a very good job of hiding anything. And I think if we just got our hands on a few folders, if the world court or whatever, but you know, it's, I don't even know who you go to. And the only route, it isn't like you can call the UN and go, there's something afoul over here with money. Boom, boom, boom. It's none of the UN's business. But when Putin knows all these things, I think his job for 2022 is to make Joe Biden and Ankles Harris the laughing stock of the planet.
Whose job? Tell me again.
Putin. He's having fun.
Think about this now. Okay.
He's having fun. He's having fun because if you push illogical people or stupid people, and Doug, you know this, we do it all the time. You push them, They do something. They do something really stupid.
That's very
they
true.
They do it so stupid they might as well be wearing a t-shirt and a hat. And see, I would just really love for somebody that knows more. And when I say people in the Ukraine being crooked, I'm talking all the way back to that little scumbag Marine or whatever he was or in the Army that got up there and testified against Trump on a phone call.
I'll
tell you what, 30 seconds in an elevator, I'd break his jaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy just makes me cringe like that. But here's the point. You got this little no-name peon, and he needs to protect the Ukraine. See, this is so deep. Doug, we haven't even scraped the icing off of this cupcake.
A number of years ago, 7, 8, 9 years ago, Biden said about the prosecutor in Ukraine, the Ukrainian prosecutor, I want him fired. And, you know,
exactly.
His words, son of a bitch, 6 hours later, he's fired. Okay, yeah. So, you know, what's going on there? And then, of course, you had back in the, 06, 07, 08, 09, the Russian-Ukrainian gas problems where the relationship between Russia and Ukraine got heated and supply disruptions in many European nations because, well, anyway, it's a big thing. Go ahead.
And from an ethical point of view.
Yeah.
We cannot ever call somebody out for invading somebody.
No,
we lost that privilege. We lost that privilege in 2002. We lost that
or privilege. 60. Or 59, well, 60.
Exactly. You know, exactly. 60s, you go back whatever. To the 60s, but we have lost that privilege to point the finger. We are no longer the golden child. We are not. And every time we get up and act like it, it really angers me because we're sitting here pointing fingers at him for the Ukraine. We point fingers at this for that and blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, we illegally invaded Iraq. a sovereign nation.
Yes. And don't forget Libya, and of course.
Oh, yeah. And that's, yeah, and that's yeah. That right there, my friend, is a whole book unto itself.
That's but right.
I, you know, I'm going to work on some things this year, and a book is going to be one of them, because there's just, there's so much to share, my friend. You know that. The world out there doesn't know 95% of what we do.
No, and folks, in case you're just tuning in, Randy Taylor, of course, riding the show with me, part of the Hagman Report, and a beloved spy. I'll just leave it at that. So,
I just wish people would dig more, my friend.
Yeah,
just like if somebody says something to you, and I know this, I can call you, Doug, with a headline, and the first thing you have is a question. No, you do. That's your nature.
Yeah.
That's my nature. Well, everybody in 90% of the United States, you fire it out there, they don't ask a question. You know, ask the peas. They don't. Nobody digs anymore, man.
No.
And we're just like a bunch of lovable idiots.
And you know, so about that too, because this is being used as a tool against us. If you want to do the research, you know. But we should research on our own to see what's going on, all right? Not just take someone's word for it. Yet, okay, so remember how it used to be cool to do your research. Now, of course, you do the research on, the jab, for example, or the efficacy of antivirals, including ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Oh, that's, you're stupid. What are you, a doctor? You think you're a doctor? No, you do your research. Isn't that funny how that whole tide has changed now?
Well, this whole thing with the jab and all, everything is so ironic. You know, a year before, you know, it was screaming, my body, my choice, you know, if I want abortions. Okay. But then if somebody wants to stick a needle of gobbledygook into my arm, I don't have any say. What happened to my body, my choice? You know what I'm saying? This is nuts. The whole thing, the premise is wrong. The other thing that really bothers me, and nobody's ever, I've heard the question asked, and I wish somebody like Bannon would really get on this, because it would become a real pressure point if like Ducey's son got in Biden's face at the White House. But why, okay, do I need ID and a passport and all this for a discredited shot, but I don't need ID for voting?
And that's that is the big thing that people are talking about. And I'm glad
you brought it up. So simple. It's just, but that right there, doesn't that kind of encapsulate the whole problem?
Well, hell yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's it. That's the irony of it.
But see, and you and I talk about this, how stupid do you have to be to on one hand say, well, everyone should have the right to vote, no ID. Hey, in fact, even if you're not a citizen, go ahead in New York City, vote in the local elections. Oh, that's not going to affect the federal. Oh, no, of course not. But if you want to go anywhere, if you want to have if you want to go to friggin' McDonald's, okay, you gotta show this green pass, key pass, passport, whatever, digital pass, whatever the thing is. You got to show it. That's not racist, especially when you look at the numbers with the jab and the minority of blacks. And I use the word minority. I don't know if that's
that's still politically correct.
Well, I don't care about politically correct. Is that even the minority now, given the influx of illegals? But I digress. But yeah, it's upside down and backwards. What the hell is wrong with people who are not questioning this, or who are so psychotically just, you know, those old science fiction movies where the monster just grabs onto your face, the tentacles and stuff? Mm-hmm. It's like the lies are just like grabbing onto these people's faces, and they can't see what the hell's going on. I mean, it's just incredible.
If you just took those two pieces of criteria, okay, about the IDs,
yeah,
and you presented that, let's just say, to a second grade class, they would be befuddled too.
As they should be.
And the sad part is they're looking at us and we're supposed to be in charge. I look at my wife and kids every day, and I think, I just can't let this keep going.
No,
this has got to stop. I personally tired of talking.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this up because
I hate to say that because we're beating our heads against the wall, and at the end of the day, all we end up with is messed up hair and a wall with some damage to it because the morons that made us beat our head against the wall, they're off to the next victim.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think, and I say this with all sobriety and all seriousness, I don't think we can wait too much longer before we must act as a people. Okay, now I don't know what that action is going to look like, but we cannot sit back and have it rammed up our asses, collective asses, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm not even going to apologize, but this is what is happening in this country. We're having it rammed up, and we're having it shoved down our throat, and they're saying, you're going to do what we tell you to do. Mm-hmm. They act like they are our overlords, and this has got to stop. And you know what really hacks me off the most is when they go after our children.
Yes, that's off limits.
Well, it used to be off limits.
Oh, used to be.
Where in the hell are the males in this country, the men in this country? Where are the men? It's just,
yes, where are they? Where are they?
They're going to find out.
I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, are we waiting for everybody's testicles to drop here? What's going on?
Exactly.
Where, why? Because if there's some great movement, you know, going on in the U.S., we need to get a little more organized. We need to get things a little better together because we're not punching them in the kneecaps for anything less, you know, we're not accomplishing anything.
Well,
resistance. We're resisting.
Let me ask you this. This is true. Okay.
But how do we change it?
But let me ask you this. Okay. Because you mentioned this, and I'm going to go where other people don't go or they fear to go. Now, for the FBI, the feds, for the critics, for the little old ladies and, you know, knitting somewhere in their gardens or whatever they're doing. Okay.
The people we love.
Yeah. Right. Listen to me. This is. A thought exercise here. I'm asking these questions because I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm thinking needs to be done. Question to you. Am I the only one thinking this?
No, sir. However, and I've had long discussions. I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old. I remember the day I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I'll never forget it. And I sit here and I went to high school, grew up in a Christian family, Christian home, went to school, went in the army, served my country. Incidentally, we killed bad guys, not put them on the voting card. And we sit here and you watch these things and it's like it's for naught. And I think that's what upsets me the most. And there's tons of veterans out there. I'm not the only one. And it doesn't even have to be a veteran. There's just some true blue Americans out there that are absolutely fed up, but they don't know what to do because here, Randy Taylor, Christian man, guest on the Hagman Report, good friends with Doug. Oh, you can say all these things, but at the end of the day, if I assassinated a politician, okay, and this is, you say it's a mock-up. If I assassinated a politician, I would suddenly be a criminal and a murderer, and I would either be killed or put in prison for the rest of my life, or you know, executed on death row. For what? For defending the rights that God gave us. That's what I struggle with, though. That's the thing that keeps me up at night. Is you lay there and you say, you know what? Myself, my friends, and my associates, we all know what needs to be done. But a part of us is afraid to do it. Not in fear of death, not in fear of this or that. I just...
Are you in fear of judgment?
In fear of judgment? No, absolutely not. Because if I'm... I'll tell you right now, I could take the U.S. government on alone, philosophically, over abortion.
Right.
Once they cross that line, you went into no man's land. you might as well be a target out there at 400 meters. Okay. You're killing babies.
Yep.
And what did we do? And this is an example of what I call the wussification of America. Why did we let them start killing babies? Huh. This is decades old. Why? What? Where did we turn? Where did we lose sight of God? This is a country that was built with the backbone of the Savior. You know, God is our backbone. He's our guide. He's the Almighty. He made this beautiful thing called America possible. And he helped a bunch of farmers and patriots with pitchforks and muskets take on the most powerful military in the world and crush them.
Right.
You know why? Because we were right. When you're right, you can't be stopped. And what I'm really looking for, I guess, here is I don't know where we stand numbers wise. I don't know. You know, you go on social media and it's blah, 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 blah. A bunch of, you know, there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. Tons of them.
Yep.
Okay. I would really wish there was a way that I could get a grasp on the true numbers of people that would be willing to do what needs to be done.
And you know,
I'll probably get in trouble for saying that.
No. At least not here. But you and I, you know, we get crap, and I get crap from these troll commenters, on our videos saying, you're all talk. Well, first of all, you have got no idea what we do, okay? I am not, even though John Morris says this, I'm not a broadcast journalist. I'm an investigator with a microphone. I just happen to be sitting in front of a microphone. And whoever thought that was a good idea, wow, okay, were you wrong? But anyway, and I know what you are, okay? And I'm sure soon a lot of people are going to know what you are. But we're not sitting back here. We are not sitting back watching this be okay. Just so you know. But we're not telegraphing what we're doing either, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. And I'll just tell the people out there, please do not confuse or misconstrue my silence for defeat or for weakness. No, I am the cat forever watching that mouse hole. Sooner or later, that mouse is going to stick his head out.
And then bam.
I sit here and I read history. I'm absolutely a history guy because we can learn from it. And I look at what our forefathers went through,
yep.
What they were willing to sacrifice. We're worried about spending a night in jail or ending up like the people from jail. I'll tell you right now, all those people that are locked up from January 6th, we should have busted them out by now.
And you know,
we should have went down in force of 5 or 6 million people and got our people out of the brig.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
See, now I'm the kind of guy, I'll die over that.
I'm stupid that way.
Push me. And you just see how stupid I am.
Now, when you say you're stupid, we're not stupid enough.
No, I keep coming back.
Yeah, right. Persistent, but
you ain't lying.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm afraid, and I'll be honest, I pray to God. I don't want to be my former self. There's part of things in my life I'll answer for someday. I don't like how it went down. I don't like how it happened. It just worked out that way. And I'll take the responsibility. I have taken the responsibility. God's forgiven me for most things that I have vast forgiveness for. And I want to be able to stand in front of him and tell him I did everything I could do. They were killing babies. They were stealing freedom. They started forcing people to do medical things that is none of the government's business. On every one of those things, I could probably look God in the eye. And I think he'd say, good job, man.
I think you're right.
You know, there has to be Davids. There has to be Sauls.
Yes.
There has to be Solomons. We're out here. The point is we're scattered to the wind and they want us that way. We've got to get a little more organized.
But with organization, and we've seen this, comes FBI infiltration, comes the federal infiltration.
But you know what? And we were talking about that. You see that up there, my wall. You see that one hat in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
FBI.
I got one of those.
These are hats of people that I've worked for, I've worked with.
Yep.
What they need to remember is they taught us everything. We know their trade secrets. That's why when they talk about and I just pray that the day never happens where some young kid wearing a U.S. uniform fires on a civilian on the street on a Patriot. I'm that's the day I'm dreading. That's the day I'm dreading that someone would actually fire on Patriots. The hardest thing in the world, I think, would be to receive orders from your commander to go out and engage fellow Americans, especially if they're right.
And how many people do you think would be okay with that? On the other side, say, okay, how many people?
I guess that's the part where I scratch my head. And I don't know. We're getting to the point. There's so few things that we can actually count on. The only thing we can count on is God, our fellow patriots, and Christians. And at the same time, I even got to watch the thing. Something that really bothered me, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, was this Epps guy.
Oh yes, let's discuss this.
Oh man, this is bugging me.
Okay.
And the reason it's bugging me is I know that name. I'm serious. I think I emailed you and told you. I know this name. Uh-huh. I somewhere our circles of paths or something have crossed somewhere. So then I immediately I think I typed it out. I said, there's a difference between like when the feds came to me after 9/11, the JTTF. They sat down at my dining room table and they were, we want you to do this. We want you to do this. Fine. And they wanted to call me a confidential informant. And I said, no,
uh-huh.
I'm not an informant. I said, you can put me down as a source. I said, if I ever see CI in front of my name, I said, you'll never talk to me again. I said, I don't do that. But this is even back in 2001. No, it's 2002. I'll say, yeah, 2002. They wanted me back then to infiltrate Patriot groups and militias. Now, these are guys from New York, and I was in Florida. And they actually, and bear in mind, we're talking about finding the people that just knocked down the World Trade Centers. That was my forte.
Right.
But then they start. So they've had this little bee in their bonnet for a long time. And then, if you recall, when the state of Missouri put out the thing about the Ron Paul Patriots and posted it, that those are the people who need to be pulled over and to approach with caution and that they're traitors.
Yep.
That piece of paper amazed me that someone would actually put that in writing. In fact, I have high respect for a gentleman named Paul Fennewald, who was up there in the Missouri Department of Homeland Security. And when he read that, I remember, because I called him, I was like, what is this? And he's like, no, and he was ashamed of it. And he actually resigned shortly thereafter. So it didn't sit right with everybody. But they've been wanting to do this for years. This goes back to, like we were talking about, Bush Sr.
Yep.
Way back. This goes back possibly to before even Kennedy, breaking the world up and slicing up all the pieces and giving it to the,
sure. Yeah.
This is, and I look at it and we say the same thing every time we talk on the phone. What are we going to do? What do we do? And we have to, I know what needs to be done. I just, once the line's crossed, baby, there ain't no coming back.
I'm just
talking to you as a friend.
No.
I'm sure the feds are out there listening, whatever.
Of course.
We're watching you, you're watching us, whatever. Why don't you go to the office, to the White House, and make an arrest?
Well,
the FBI is no longer a law enforcement, it's a political tool.
Well, like, What's ironic to me, Monday was Martin Luther King Day, right? So what did the FBI do to King? Remember the letter that was sent to King that essentially ended with the line, you know what to do, basically telling him to commit suicide. That's his only way out because of all the stuff they had on King. They were blackmailing King. Folks, if you don't know what letter I'm referring to, just type in the search engine, Martin Luther King FBI letter. You'll find it, all right? And I find it so, to me, ironic that here is this lifting up of Martin Luther King, for a number of reasons ironic. And then the FBI, of course, knowing what the FBI did to Martin Luther King and how they infiltrated his group, how they bugged his motel rooms. And it's just an amazing
story. They infringed on his rights.
They did. So.
Like what?
Yeah. So, you know, all of this. So this is nothing new. And I think we have to come to grips with the point that the FBI is no longer on our side, no longer a constitutional entity, and maybe it never was. And it should be disbanded, much like the CIA. We don't need that federalization of police forces. We need the local community police forces and strong. And, you know,
yeah, because the CIA is writing their own policies and enforcing their own policies.
Exactly.
And that shouldn't have never been.
And you know, yes, and I didn't mean to overtalk you or interrupt, but you know where this is, you can see the mechanisms. And folks, I want everyone to see this. Eric the Tech, this will be page number one on the show prep today. Folks, on the globalists, the people in power, the people who want to subjugate us, they know where our strong points are. So they're attacking our strong points. That's on a local level. Breitbart came out with this morning, the Soros Dozen, big city prosecutors backed by George Soros. And the reason I bring this up now at this point is because what we're talking about is when we're looking at keeping society, or I don't even know how to describe, when you're looking at law and order, when you're looking at things that we need to
focus on.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is one of these areas where Soros is already 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 paces ahead of most of us, installing these lunatic district attorneys, pouring tons of dollars into their coffers, having them elected. Look at the Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon. Okay, radical reforms, just crazy stuff. And you can go through this list of the 12 that are listed here, and there are more. But the attack is on a local level by the very people who want to see this country destroyed. And this is part of it, too. So you've got the FBI on a federal level, and then the district attorneys who prosecute the case, decide who to prosecute. Randy, they're going to prosecute you and me before they prosecute the groups that go in and steal the Coach purses and the bangles and baubles out of these jewelry stores.
Absolutely, they will. Absolutely. This whole Soros thing, Soros has had to have committed, dozens and dozens of crimes just by filtering this money down. Somebody needs to turn around and really put a focus on George Soros. And, well, let's just say they need to put a focus on George Soros. Okay. This guy is filthy. I don't know why.
I've never heard it called a focus, but okay, yes.
Yeah, focus. Yeah. We'll use that. We'll keep it generic.
Wink, yeah.
But George Soros and people like that, they're feeding this madness. It's very complex. See, they're really a long way ahead of us as far as planning. A long way, the left, these globalists. They're right. So far, they're decades ahead of us because we're just now, people are starting to wake up. And you have to admit it, when Trump came into office about the last 2 years of his presidency, people really started to wake up. People started to go, oh, wow, yeah, wow, the government's been doing this. Wow, yeah. Yeah, idiot. The government's been doing it for the last 35 years. You know, and that's the thing. They've got that foothold on us. And we're not in a proactive approach right now. We're still reacting.
That's constantly. A good point. Yes.
We're constantly reacting. And as long as you're reacting, you are at, you have a deficit. You have a weakness if you're reacting and not being proactive.
Oh, yeah. We're at a disadvantage, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Severe disadvantage. And they intend to keep us that way. This is, I've never seen anything like I see now. I turn on the news and then I just want to turn it back off.
Yeah.
It's that nuts. And I don't know what 2022 holds. I know that we really need to get our act together a little better. I would like to, one thing I would definitely like to know, do it if you want. As you guys know, we're nothing to do with the government. We bust their chops every time we can. But, you know, if there's some militias out there and you know, and you got some pages or, you know what I mean, you got a website or whatever, shoot me an email. Yes. I would like to see, and I'll tell you why. I've got to get an idea of who's out there. I have met some fantastic people through email, through this show, and I've vetted them. Ran backgrounds, they're cool. Everything's good. And they feel like I do. They feel like Doug does.
Yes.
They feel like Eric does. But they're afraid to say it.
Well, you know, we can be that voice, their voice, yeah. And we can be their frontage, I suppose.
I think it's just time to step things up and get right back in the, you know, this is a bully right now on the playground. Yeah, exactly. This is the bully, and he's pushing people, or they're pushing people around. But when he comes to push me, I want him to know he pushed the wrong person.
I totally agree with you on this. And so when we move the slide backwards, or we move that microscope or telescope back a little bit to see the bigger picture here, what happened in the last in the final years, year and a half, 2 years of the President Trump presidency? What happened? We saw impeachment after impeachment, and that didn't really do much except it distracted him. We saw barrage. Go ahead, or barrage.
We saw people that were actually trying to change our vote.
Yes, yes. Well,
that is insane. That is as criminal as it gets, trying to change the vote after we voted.
And remember what happened in the Battle of Athens, Tennessee in 1946. Yes. Okay, we had a bunch of guys that weren't taking that crap in that county, McMinn County, Tennessee, said, you know what, we're not taking it. They went down to the armory, they got weapons, they came back, and they sorted it out that way. Mm-hmm. Where in the hell, especially in 2020, where were those guys? Where, you know, and I guess I could say, where was I?
I can say, where was I, Doug, because we've got a bunch of people that are like us, that are falsely accused and sitting in jail because of an incident that has totally been misrepresented to the public, an incident on January 6th.
Yep.
That right there in itself, nobody's telling the truth on it to the extent it needs to be told. Bits and pieces. But this Ray Epps, yes. this guy bugs me no end. And I'll tell you why, because I've been in that type of position, except it was, you know, against Middle Easterners, the blend, to bring them out, to get them to me, bag them. Okay. This Epps guy is either done something wrong and is trying to get out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or he's much more involved with the feds than we think he is. This guy, and we saw repeated incidents of this where the cops were saying, okay, come this way, and them opening up barricades. We've seen, how many times do we see that on film on the 6th?
Oh,
the cops moving the barricades so the protesters could get in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this little girl, Babbitt, she goes up there, you know, trying to settle people down and keep people, you know, trying to maintain a little bit of order. and she gets a gunshot to the head for her trouble. Why? Where's the outrage? You shot one of our citizens. I wasn't doing anything. It could have been me. Could have been you.
Yep.
Could have been my wife. Of course, it was my wife. I'd still be scraping them off walls. But the thing is, I don't understand this. This her husband should be just livid. And those people that are in detention, where are our rich donors and people, you know, behind the movement that could easily write bail checks? Where are they? Where are you? Well, I can't write the check.
That's the
I can't pay my electric bill.
There's no bail on some of these.
And I don't get that. I don't understand that at all. And the right to a speedy trial.
Right.
Correct. You know, and the evidence is garbage. But you've got your little pretend jury, your little pretend judge, and they're going to go through all the motions and they're going to find them guilty and fine them or stick them in jail. And I don't think that anybody that day should spend a single day in jail. I didn't see anything but a little bit of property damage, and the property damage was largely due just to the amount of people trying to pass through a small area.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't like, well, I'm going to tear this fence down. No, I was like, we're going to tear the fence down so we can get in. I mean, there was a reason for everything that was done. And as I go back and I go through the videos and I look at the videos and all, this whole thing was set up by the feds. And if we can't smell it, people, we should know that. Doug knows it. I know it. This was a setup. This is no more juicy than the seven black guys that they busted in Miami in the early 2000s that were going to commit a major terrorist attack. Those clowns couldn't find McDonald's. You know, you remember what I'm talking about, Doug?
I do.
Yeah. And think about it. You're the Times Square bomber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The FBI agent hands him a backpack with a fake bomb in it. And there's your bust. That's your bust. This is the FBI has lost all credibility with me. All.
You know, okay.
All. And they were supposed to be the premier law enforcement agency in our country.
And you and I have had enough experience with the FBI and with and with the various subgroups and co-parts.
Subgroups. You know? Subgroups.
Whatever you want to call them, you know.
Another layer of scum. And it's a shame. I would love to see our FBI get back to where they're exalted in the world.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? But
wouldn't it be really cool? Wouldn't it be really cool to walk in someplace in France or let's say walk in someplace in Germany and say, I'm an American, and somebody buy you a beer instead of throwing something at you.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, sadly,
that's where we're at, folks. But we have sold our soul. And we didn't even get a good deal.
Let's not go too far from that Epps thing, because I want to play something for you and for the audience.
This one is stuck in my craw, my friend.
Okay, so you've got to take a look, folks, at one of the investigative journalists out there is Darren Beatty, and he really, through Revolver.News, has really done a lot on looking who Ray Epps is. Now there's a couple of parts to several parts to his investigation. And parts one and two appeared, were broadcast on One American News, which, by the way, was taken off DirecTV. And if you've got DirecTV, that to me is an offense that...
They were taken off what?
DirecTV.
Oh, man.
Okay, so One American News. So we have let DirecTV know by way of our pocketbook that no, that's not going to fly. You take One American News off, you're censoring people, that's not going to fly. But I digress. But this appeared on One American News, and it really didn't get a lot of a lot of the foothold that it should have gotten. So take a look at this. Now this is an extended clip, and here's what I want you to do. At any point in this clip, if you just yell stop, you know, stop for a moment, and we'll pause it, and we can discuss what you're seeing. But the setup is good; it's necessary, and the this is good. So, at any point, yell stop. I'll do the same, you know, to pause it, and then we can discuss whatever we see if it's appropriate. Fair? Is that good?
Cool.
All right.
Sounds good.
And here it is. This, by the way, this, I think it was published, let me just see. This was published last year, at the end of last year, December 29th. And again, this is Darren Beatty on One American News. Go ahead.
We're a little more than a week away from the one-year anniversary of January 6th, and still more questions remain than answers. The Congressional January 6th Commission has predictably turned into a political bludgeon to be wielded by the left rather than an instrument of truth. More time has been spent trying to vilify President Trump and his associates than has been spent looking into who was actually coordinating the chaos. While a great deal of footage from that day still remains unreleased, what we do have is telling. You may have heard the name Ray Epps several times by now. Epps is a 60-year-old Arizona resident and retired Marine. Based on footage, Epps may have also played a critical role in both funneling crowds from Trump's speech at the National Mall and to the Capitol grounds, as well as in the initial breach of the Capitol perimeter that created an open walkway for unsuspecting crowds. Take a look.
Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
No! Fed!
All right. No, okay, but one more thing.
Yeah, so can we go up there? No?
When we go in.
Are we going to get arrested if we go up
here.
There?
Yeah. You don't need to get shot.
Did you arrest us all?
I mean, they knew what he was, what he was up to.
Okay,
you heard the
pause
chance
for a
right
second.
There.
Randy Taylor, do you see Fed there in your view?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's working. He's definitely working for the feds.
Okay. All right. Good. Let's continue. Okay.
The Fed. Now, Epps was initially listed, if you remember, as a suspect number 16 on the FBI most wanted list associated with the Capitol Hill riot. But while many still remain in detention awaiting trial, Epps was quietly dropped off that list. Another name that has not made the list is a man who has been dubbed Scaffold Commander, who perched himself on top of a tower that was designed for media and proceeded to shout orders at the crowd through a bullhorn, urging them forward. Like Epps, many have questioned how single-minded and well-coordinated these two men were. Take a look at this footage.
Pause it.
Quick. What was that guy's name, the second guy?
The Scaffold Commander? I don't think he's been identified.
Okay.
With any degree of certainty at this point.
For now.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you.
The man that is known as Scaffold Commander that has been put together by our friends at Revolver News.
Okay, we're in. We're in. Come on. We got to fill up the Capitol. Come on. Come now. We need help. We're going to fill up the Capitol. They got in. Come on.
Move forward.
You'd think the FBI would be all over that guy, but they're not. These are not the only two people who were seen acting with an oddly determined coordination on that day. People who seemed oddly distinct from the MAGA crowd and whose faces have somehow eluded FBI watch list. Why is that, and what role did the FBI really play that day? Joining us now to discuss from Revolver News is Darren Beatty himself. Thanks for joining us tonight, Darren.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. So lots of big developments from this part two of the Ray Epps saga, if you will. So what are some of those big takeaways for our audience?
Well, you did a great job covering it in your introduction there. We have Ray Epps, who remains unindicted. And in fact, arguably even more remarkable than the fact that he's unindicted, not arrested, nothing, is that the vaunted January 6th committee seems to have no interest in him whatsoever, up to the point of simply not even wanting to subpoena his communications records, which is quite amazing. And I'll remind your viewers that this individual, Ray Epps, whom you showed in video, in the mountains of video evidence of 1-6, January 6th, this is the single sole individual caught on camera explicitly stating his plan to go into the Capitol. He's there on January 6th. He's everywhere on January 6th. He's right there next to the metal barricade, the very first breach of Capitol grounds on January 6th. And I think people should understand a big part of the story, the untold story that's pieced together in this Revolver news piece, is that all of this activity, these initial breaches, the fence cutting, all of this activity that really created the conditions for the rally to become a riot, all of this took place as Trump was still speaking. And so when you have the whole crowd eventually move over to the Capitol, once they got there, the fencing had already been removed. And so they were simply not in a position to understand that they were committing a criminal offense by trespassing, because these mysterious figures had already removed the fencing while Trump was speaking. And so it just adds to the suspicion and just how bizarre it is that several of these key unindicted people that we cover in this Revolver piece, they're there very early on, basically at the same place by the Peace Monument next to the initial breach site. They're all hanging out, and many of them have traveled basically across the country, presumably because they're big Trump supporters. Ray Epps is wearing a Trump hat. So he flies from Arizona to DC because he loves Trump so much. And then instead of going to the Trump speech, he just skips it and conveniently follows through on his bizarre stated mission to go into the Capitol by being right there at the very first breach of Capitol grounds as Trump was speaking. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And so this Revolver.news piece, it's right up at the very top link on the site. We go through a number of very, very bizarre characters. We have tons of footage of these people, and many of them constitute Ray Epps-sized scandals unto themselves. You show the scaffold commander. There's another guy called Black Ski Mask Guy. He's one of the early fence cutters as well. In his case, we know that the feds know who he is, because on January 5th, he was stopped in this so-called Trump hippie van, a bunch of Trump hippies, they're called, who were stopped right in front of the Department of Justice because their van had explosives and guns. And they were taken out, and they were, you know, they wanted to take their DNA, but they certainly took their names and everything else. And so what are the chances that this guy stopped in this bizarre case that wasn't covered by the media at all, by the way, of this van right in front of the Department of Justice the day before January 6th? This happens to be the same guy who's there early on January 6th cutting the fences. The feds know who he is, and he's not arrested. And meanwhile, you go to the FBI's website and they're still looking for, you know, grandma as suspect number 5238, grandma with her selfie in the Capitol. It's just it's insane.
I know, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, we just live in such a seriously, a fundamentally unserious nation at this point. And that's what really bothers me is, I mean, you can see the webs and the machinations, you know, closing around, and it's just so obvious. But yet, you know, I don't mean to truly laugh, because really a lot of innocent people, you know, joking about the MAGA grandmas and MAGA grandpas. I mean, a lot of these innocent people truly are being hurt by this. Many people just traveled to D.C., they went to hear Trump speak, and then they're hearing, oh, everyone's walking down to the Capitol. They walk down too. And they didn't realize that people like Ray Epps and the rest of them have been sitting there the entire time, didn't even listen to Trump, and they were cutting away wiring, cutting away fencing. How come they weren't stopped during all of this? Hiding barricades, dumping them over the side of concrete barriers so that no one would even know that they're trespassing. And those people are truly being hurt by this, and that's what bothers me the most. I mean, and I smell such a rat here. I mean, it's the same thing with the supposed pipe bombers, you know? The pipe bombs left outside the Republican and Democrat headquarters the night before, and I don't think the January 6th Commission has even, you know, breathed a word pretty much on any of that.
No, they've exhibited zero interest in this or any of the actual, you know, reporting that gestures toward what, you know, likely actually took place, the dark truth about one six actually was. But of course, the politicized commission is not interested in uncovering the truth. They're interested in perpetuating the political agenda based on the lie of 1/6. And so if you want the truth about 1/6, and if you want the video evidence, you got to go to, you know, revolver.news, read the piece for yourself, because the exposition is one thing, but we've got video. We've got tons of video and all these characters. So I challenge anyone to go read the piece, watch the video, and ask yourself honestly, is there any reasonable doubt that these figures were, you know, part of some agenda by the federal government.
Okay, you can
send it to your friends. Send it to everyone. Send it.
You can, and the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. So, Randy Taylor, what do you think?
And this report is not going to be any different than the Warren Commission or the 9/11 report.
It's going to be worse.
Yeah, they're going to take the words. I have trouble. Well, let's say this much. If you recall, before January 6th, we were still back in November and December, and on the show, where everybody was talking about getting armed and going to Washington, D.C., and you and I were like, no. In fact, we got it to the top guys, do not go down there armed.
Right. And we spoke about it on air.
Okay. Yes, and it's a guy, go back and mark the show. I'm almost 60. Doug's a little more 60 than me. We have seen what this government does. That's why we told you, don't take weapons down there, because it would have been a bloodbath.
All right. Now hold that thought, because here's the lip service that we get. Okay. So that was December 29th on One American News. So what happened since that time? Well, here's this past week, Ted Cruz, FBI, they're asking questions. Cruz, now, to his credit, Cruz asked a question, as did others, but this is the one that was handy, of the FBI about Ray Epps. This is like 30 seconds. I don't know. It's not that long. Go ahead and play it. What is it? Oh, I guess it's a little longer than it's about 2 minutes. Go ahead and play it.
I want to turn to the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol. This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, Fed, 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 Fed. Ms. Sadburn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Shortly thereafter, the FBI put out a public post seeking information on individuals connected with violent crimes on January 6th. Among those individuals, in the bottom there, is Mr. Epps. The FBI publicly asked for information, identifying, offering cash rewards leading to the arrest. This was posted, and then, sometime later, magically, Mr. Epps disappeared from the public posting. According to public records, Mr. Epps has not been charged with anything. No one's explained why a person videoed urging people to go to the Capitol, a person whose conduct was so suspect the crowd believed he was a Fed, would magically disappear from the list of people the FBI was looking at. Ms. Sadburn, a lot of Americans are concerned that the federal government deliberately encouraged illegal and violent conduct on January 6th. My question to you, and this is not an ordinary law enforcement question, this is a question of a public accountability. Did federal agents or those in service of federal agent actively encourage violent and criminal conduct on January 6th?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Thank you.
And there it is. Your thoughts.
I want to turn to the FBI.
Your thoughts.
She's lying. She knows exactly what happened. This Epps guy, he's dirty, dirty, dirty. And it wasn't just Epps and a couple other guys. I guarantee you, with the FBI's looking at the size of what the crowd was going to be, you're probably looking more of a 20-plus body count of people working confidentially for the FBI that day. It wasn't just two people.
Yeah, I would think that might be a little low number, but okay.
Well, and to be able to still maintain some secrecy. I mean, I could have with 20 people done a heck of a disruption. Right. But, you know, like you said, they are in up too, so it would take two of them to do the work of one. this Epps guy, though, and I got to dig. I know the name. I've heard it somewhere else around another campfire. I know that name. And he's right about my age. I know.
Well, watch your food deliveries, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And stay away from open windows on the second or fifth floor of
yours. I live in a curtained environment.
A curtained environment, yeah, and you do.
Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, so this is what we're fighting.
We've got to figure out, we've got to start putting some stuff together. And I'm talking to our audience out there.
Yep.
I know a lot of you are chomping at the bit and wanting to move forward. I want you to stop and think when we were telling you, you know, the end of last year and beginning of this year, take it easy. There's a reason we told you to take it easy. I know who your enemy is. I know who our enemy is. And they're slick. They're really slick. I tell you, take it easy, or I offer advice on something, it's just because I've dealt with them before. I know how those little peanut brains work. So we're working on getting this together, but like I said, I don't know truthfully where we stand, manpower wise. The other thing you look at, people talk about, you know, civil war, civil this, civil that. Well, we're not going to be able to draw a line, you know, from Baltimore to Los Angeles and say everybody up here is this one and everybody down here is this one. If you think about it, a civil war broke out, it would be so chaotic, just the way our country is structured, meaning the people, the economics, you know, rural versus urban. You know what I'm saying? This is such a, it's easy to talk a good show.
Right.
And talk about do this, talk about doing that. It takes some serious planning. It takes serious money, and of which I haven't seen either. And that's the route we have to take. And the point is, you have to do things that we don't want to hurt people, but eventually that could happen. You know, I'm throwing these things out here. I'm not saying, hey, let's do an incursion tonight. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, folks, the dynamics are changing. They're changing more and more every day. And the last thing this country needs is to get into a military conflict with Russia.
That's true.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't think they will. I think Putin's just pushing their buttons, in which case I sit back and, I mean, I'll defend the United States against any enemy. Maybe Russian, Chinese, I don't care. If you're threatening our way of life and threatening our people, then you are the enemy.
Yep.
And I just haven't seen to where Putin's doing that. Putin is probably laughing at us.
Well, speaking of that, though, then let's look at this from a different angle. I suspect there are 200-300 people pulling the strings of even the pulling even Putin's strings. But 200-300 people who are really the enemies of the West and of the freedom-loving Americans and freedom-loving Westerners that are...
And technically the enemy of all mankind at that point.
You're right. So wouldn't it be better to focus our sights, deliberately yes. stated, on those people?
I absolutely agree. It's like you and I were talking before, you know, surgical.
Yeah.
Surgically. I kid you not.
Well, I prefer shotgun blasts. Okay, that's yeah, my
but,
style. Sir,
but the point is, you're going into something. You'd be going into something that would be like, you know, going into Mosul in Iraq. Yeah. Who's who?
Exactly.
You know, that's the problem you have. Where we have in the government, we've got a bunch of people, but there's probably about 15 or 20 of them that every time they get out of bed in the morning, they're dangerous for our country. So when I say surgical, that's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any more than that, but yes, nope, I agree.
We're going to leave it at that. But that's, and that's really, in the end, if something does come to fruition, that's the only way it's going to work, guys.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, that's a hard fact. I don't care how you examine it, cross-examine it, throw it in front of 20 analysts, you're going to come back and go, Randy, you're right, it has to be surgical.
Otherwise,
start thinking like Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history and information out there. There's other people that have done this, and let's learn from them.
Do you see anyone now bringing this relevant to the vax passports and the restriction of travel and all this? Do you see people backing down now that people are starting to wake up and maybe maybe they're getting the message, hey, wait a minute.
I was reading how I guess it was Pearson up in Canada, that people were coming back and they were trying to the police were like, hey, you gotta go to this hotel and all that. And they just walked away. What are they gonna do? What are you going to do if you're a cop? If you're a cop and you grab me over this, you're going to get hit. I'm going to slam you to the floor. If you grab me over a freaking shot, I'll knock your teeth down your throat.
Wait a second, though. You better clarify that because people are going to take that the wrong way. You mean...
How so? Well, I'm talking, if someone walked up to me, it's like the lady at that ball game that was on the bleachers and the cops were roughing her up and tossing her around.
Right.
Where are the men in this
Thank
country?
You. Okay. I just want to make sure that's where you're
sometimes,
coming from.
Yeah. Sometimes you sleep better with a night in jail.
I love that.
I'm serious. I just want, and that's the thing. I told you, Doug, you know me. I know you. I don't want to cross that line, but once that line's crossed, there ain't no coming back. And damn it, you will know I was there.
You're going to leave a mark. And
I'm just done. This is our country. This is our lives. This is our families. These are our children. This is the future. This is the greatest there was, the greatest country in the world.
Yep.
Look at us. We're just over a couple hundred years old, and look at what we've accomplished. We are a beacon. When there's a problem somewhere in the world, people go, I hope the U.S. is coming. Because that's the way we're supposed to be. But we're not on that pedestal anymore. We're not.
No.
They look at us and they're like, how can you help us if you can't help yourselves? What good are you to us? I'm sure Ukraine's just over there drinking iced tea and relaxing because the U.S. has their back.
Yeah, Biden to the rescue, by the way. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Hunter and Joe. Yeah, exactly.
Hunter. Yes, where is Hunter?
Yeah. Hunter's busy laundering money, selling art.
Is that the new thing?
Yeah.
I thought he found a market with his dad and his friends on the guest pass to the Porn Palace.
Well, that's what he does in his downtime.
But he can only do that. And he can only do that during family reunions. So.
Oh, your hair smells lovely. Yeah. Hey, niece, come on in the shower with me. Okay. Yeah. But I sense that the left, I say the left, I mean the globalist structure, I sense they're losing power. Yet, I want to show this clip here in the remaining several minutes we have. This is Fauci. When I say they're coming for our kids, they're coming for our kids. This should infuriate everyone. In fact, I have like 12 clips here that it'll be in the program description box I wanted to play. But let's play clip number five here, if you don't mind. Can you do that okay? Clip number five? Okay. He's got to cycle through a whole bit. I throw all this show prep and we never get through it.
Poor guy. He's at night dreaming about show prep.
I'm telling you, man. It's in the body of the. It's a Twitter video, or no? I guess that's not a. Just show the page, I guess. Show the tweet. This now coming out. And I think this is horrendous, and I think that people are going to start really, really going after Fauci. Fauci says FDA could authorize Pfizer's COVID vaccine for kids under five in the next month. All right. Now, there it is there. They're coming for your children. And a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, I did play a video about the AI, the transhumanism. The transhumanists want to digitize your baby's brain. That's in clip four. Do we have enough time? We don't have enough time for that. I showed it a week ago. But here's the thing. They're, in my view, and then you can have the rest of the, you can have the remaining time. In my view, they're coming after our kids. Even though they're losing the narrative, they're doubling down and they're trying to really subjugate the masses into total compliance for this digital ID, which is the end game result, or at least this stage of the game, so everyone can be monitored and controlled through digital identification. And your thoughts on this?
I think it's kind of scary when you get right down to it. This sudden focus on IDs and this and that and DNA and the shot and who's got the shot and who's got the passport. And now they got these little apps you put on your phone and they know where you're at 24 hours a day. You know, it's supposed to be a COVID app that tells you if you're in a dangerous area or something. There's all kinds of crap floating around from the government. They have no right to mess with our kids. They have no right to mess with us. We unfortunately have allowed this to happen. And I think that's what complicates this for men like me. I'm a Christian man. I have my principles and I have my lines. And there's just certain lines you don't cross. And I hate to say it, they've already crossed those lines. So the only thing we can do now is try and change the way of thinking in Washington, D.C. We're not going to do that current status, the way we're doing things. We're already, and this is a sign that we're not quite on our game in the resistance. People are already talking about the next election. Our people.
Yeah.
What next election?
Thank you.
How do you figure that suddenly the numbers are going to come out in your favor after what we just witnessed in 2020? How can anybody even call it an election? Why are we even worried about voting cards? This is just bananas. Because that election never happened. It did not come out the way that it actually was done. No. They still haven't proven it. And here's the sad thing. This is the part in all of this. Let's go back to the day you started as an investigator. You had amass evidence. You would give them hardcore proof. You'd say, that's him right there. And they'd look at it and, eh. See, that's the thing. We have all the evidence. Yep. We don't need another thing. If there was such a thing as an honest-to-God judge out there, one that had no ties, no political favors, you know, we would start seeing things differently. But they've gotten into, unfortunately, the legislative branch is full. The judicial branch is full. And now the executive branch has turned. Ladies and gentlemen, those were the ones that were supposed to keep checks and balances, as I was told as a little boy in school, that the three branches would keep checks and balances on each other. So far, I haven't seen Jack. So it falls on the people.
It falls on the people. And I say that those words, I believe, are the most important It's up to us. It's up to us. Randy Taylor, folks, email Randy Taylor, randytaylor@hagmanreport.com. And
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your prayers.
Yes.
The prayers. I'm getting to where I can walk again. Okay.
Gotta go.
Then, once I'm walking, I'm dangerous.
See you later. Thanks, Randy. Good night, everybody.
All right. See you later.